And now we continue with our series on PFAS contamination around Michigan as we seek the answers to the questions you have asked. Today, water filters.
My name is Donna, and I'm from Oscoda, Michigan. We have not got straight answers from any department. Any governmental department has left us with questions. I mean, they tell you the filters for your drinking water are all you need. But then I read reports that say that the filters they're using do not remove all the PFAS.
Well, let's turn for some answers to Rick Andrew, Director of Global Development for Water Systems at NSF International. It's an independent global public health organization based in Ann Arbor. Rick, welcome. It's good to have you with us.
It's great to be here, Cynthia.
And so just to set the stage for everyone, it's worth noting NSF was founded in 1944?
Yes, 1944, and right here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. So we're kind of a homegrown organization that's very, very happy to help the people of Michigan.
And I know starting in the 1970s, NSF helped develop the American National Standards for any materials and products that come in contact with drinking water. So yours is indeed the right group to be chosen by the state to review PFAS filters. So, Rick, what is the review process like? How do you go about it, and what is it you're looking for in a filter?
Sure. What we want to do really is make sure these filters are working as the manufacturer claims. So in this case, we want to test them specifically with PFOA and PFOS to make sure that the filter is treating those chemicals effectively when it's being used by people who are counting on it to provide clean, safe drinking water for their families.
And when we should also remind everybody, PFOA and PFOS are in that PFAS family.
Yes, they are the two most commonly studied of that family of chemicals, and also they're two that we have health advisory levels for. So that health advisory level helps us set a limit for how much can be left in the water after the filter has treated it.
So back to Donna's question, are filters designed to remove the chemicals in the PFAS family, or do they just limit the amount?
Right. And it's not all filters. There are some filters that have the capability to treat these chemicals, but not all of them. So that's why it's really important to check to make sure they are tested and certified by NSF. And you can find information about that on the product itself or on our website at nsf.org. But the ones that are engineered and designed and manufactured to serve that function are really rigorously tested, not to remove necessarily all of it, but under our test protocol, they have to remove at least 95% of the PFOA and PFOS that's present in the drinking water.
So what should it get to? What should be the level of PFOA and PFOS?
Well, the level that we're using is based on that US EPA health advisory level, and it's 70 parts per trillion. So really a low amount because these chemicals are, you know, they have certain chemical properties that can make them not so great to be drinking. So it's down all the way to 70 parts per trillion.
But I know there are those who feel that level, the EPA's acceptable level of 70 parts per trillion, is too high. So let's say someone wants a stronger filter and wants to really knock it down further. Is that out there?
Well, one of the things that we do is we keep an eye on these kinds of issues in terms of new developments in the science and new developments in regulatory levels. And if we see that that bar is lowering or the landscape is shifting, we'll pull together our technical experts and relook at the way we're doing the testing, and we'll make adjustments.
But is there such a thing as a stronger filter that would reduce that level to much lower than that 70 parts per trillion, or is that not available yet?
Well, there may be. We just wouldn't know it based on the way we're doing the testing.
Got it. What are some of these special challenges in filtering out PFOA and PFOS, these PFAS contaminants?
Well, part of it is the very low levels. You know, once you get down into parts per trillion levels, that's a very low concentration of the contaminant to be in the drinking water. So just doing the testing takes really specialized equipment and instrumentation to carefully control the test, to really accurately measure how much is being put in the water, to challenge the filter, and then accurately measure how much is still remaining in the water afterwards. So it's a very sophisticated type of technology and laboratory that's required to do this testing.
Are there filters that multitask, Rick, that effectively filter out PFAS, lead, arsenic, radium? How does that work?
Yes. In fact, some of the filters that we test have capability to reduce numerous contaminants because they incorporate multiple technologies. They may have activated carbon. They may use reverse osmosis. They may have additional treatment technologies incorporated into them. So they get pretty sophisticated. And really, the way consumers can kind of check on these things is to look at our listings at our website on nsf.org. We have all the filters and manufacturers listed there, including all the contaminants that we've tested them to be effective at treating.
When we think of the many headlines coming out of Flint with the lead that leached into the water there, and now we've got concerns about PFAS chemicals in the water, chemically, are there different challenges in clearing one out versus the other?
Yes, absolutely. You know, with the lead, one of the big concerns there is that some of it can be in particle form and some of it can be dissolved. So the filter really needs to be able to treat both forms of lead, both the dissolved and the particles. So that takes a special technology there. And then with the PFOA, PFOS, those compounds are very different. They're organic compounds that are structured very differently from lead. So it's really a completely different type of treatment technology that's needed to treat those effectively.
Rick, we also got a question from a listener about disposing these filters that remove these PFOA and PFOS chemicals. Are they safe to throw in the trash, or should you take other measures because of the PFAS toxicity?
You know, it's interesting. The way these work is that the chemicals in the drinking water would rather attach to the filter than stay in the drinking water. They're chemically attracted, and so they end up bonding to that filter and kind of coming out of the drinking water. So when those filters are put into a landfill, it's pretty unlikely that they would detach themselves then from the filter and go back into some kind of liquid that's inside the landfill. So it's pretty safe to assume that those chemicals are going to stay bonded to the filter. You know, and interestingly enough, some of the manufacturers of the filters now actually have recycling programs. So with some of these companies and products, consumers can actually ship them back in, and the manufacturer will have those spent filters recycled into a number of different things. It could be materials for constructing roads or other things. So just something to throw out there and for people to think about.
And just again, just to recap for anyone who is looking for some unbiased guidance in choosing a drinking water filter to reduce any contaminant, the website is nsf.org. And you've got a list of what's available and it's been tested?
Yes, absolutely. We update that listing every day, so it's completely current as to which filters have been tested to treat which contaminants. It's pretty searchable, and people can definitely check it out for themselves and see what they can find.
Rick Andrew, Director of Global Development for Water Systems at NSF International. Rick, thank you so much for taking time to answer our filter questions.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you.